Amen. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 4. We have a long passage to read so that we get the story and the understanding of it. John chapter 4. I start reading. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. Verse 4. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from the journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of living water, welling up into eternal life." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Say, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem would you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Then the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but said, no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "What are you talking with? Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were arguing with him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There is yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. This morning, we continue with our series, as Craig said, "Fanning into Flame, the gift of God that is in us." And I believe that we are fanning into flame so that the Holy Spirit will lead us and help us in areas where we need to revive ourselves. We need to come up. You know, when you fan fire, it means the fire at one time was burning. Now it's not burning the way it should. So you find it so that it can burn. And I believe each one of us here today, if we know the Lord, somehow, somewhere, we've lost something. And we need to find into flame. My desire and prayer is that through this passage, we will learn from Jesus himself areas in our lives that we need to fan into flame. And in doing this, there are 4 areas that I want us to look at. The first one will be the barriers that we need to break in order to get to people so that they will give attention to the gospel. And the second one is allowing the word of God itself to reveal who we are and how sinful we are to us. And the third will be the need of knowing Jesus, who he is, that we can worship him. And finally, the need to be able to tell others about Christ and what he has done for us. So let's quickly get into the first one, breaking barriers. You know, when we talk of breaking barriers, in the first place, Jesus, there are 3 areas I want us to look at. The first one is that Jesus broke nationalistic, tribalistic, racial, and religious barriers. There's a map I want us to look at. The first one is that there was a big gulf between Jews and Gentiles. A Jew will never, a serious Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and especially a rabbi, will never walk through the land of Samaria. What they will do is they will go to the right side, cross the Jordan, and come back, cross again, and get to Nazareth or Galilee. Or they will go by the seaside and avoid being in Samaria. Now, this had, if you read 2 Kings chapter 17, the Assyrians attacked the northern kingdom, that is Israel. And they took for the leaders and most people, but some few were left. And what the Assyrians did after they've taken them into captivity is they brought other foreigners from Babylon, from many other places into Samaria. And there they intermingled and married the women and the men that were there. So they became a new hybrid of people. And for a Jew to go and marry a foreigner was unheard of. And so that was the beginning of the enmity. When they came back, they said, you've sold your birthright. We have nothing to do with you. You've defiled yourselves. And so, as a result of that, a Jew will never go, a serious, an Orthodox Jew, will not go through the land of Samaria. But this morning, here is Jesus going to Galilee. And the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. Jesus was sensitive to his father. And he knew, I have to go through there. I have to break through this barrier that is preventing the people that God has chosen to become Christians or to come to God. Remember when I was looking at one new man, I mentioned one thing, that God chose Israel so that through Israel, he will reach out to the whole world. But instead, the Jews hated other races, Gentiles, and they insulted them. And according to theologians, the worst were the Samaritans because they were neither Jews nor Gentiles. And because of that, they hated them. Some theologians say they were hybrid. That means half bred. And they detested them as outcasts. And even though they still practice some of the customs of the Jews, circumcision, but they were still considered as prostitutes because they were not worshiping the true God. And so people would not go through Samaria. And Jesus said, I have to go through. Do you know that even today, apartheid is gone. There are some people who will never enter into a place where or a home of someone from another race. There are some people like that. It could be blacks not going into whites, white not going to blacks or whatever. But Jesus said, I have to go through. Of course, there was an option going right, going left, but he said, I have to go through because he breaks boundaries. This morning, what is the boundary that you need to break? If you are here with this wonderful worship this morning, worshiping the living God who created us the same, what boundary do you need to break? So that you have an opportunity to bring others to Christ. Let me tell you, Jesus will not come again to call people to himself. He will use you and I. If we know Jesus, to bring others. That's what he is doing. And we need to take note of that. Sometimes even in the church, our attitude drives people away. I remember I was doing theology at UKZN. And a guy stood and said, for me, I'm a theologian, but I don't go to church because of what I experienced under apartheid. I said, tell me what happened. He said, I went to church and this man stands up and he was the only black in that church. And you can see this man who was preaching was not happy. And he said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says God is light and in him there's no darkness. And this man is sitting there and God is light. Yeah, light. And there's no darkness. And this man look him in the eye. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. Look at this. And the guy said, even though I'm a theologian, I will never go to church again. And so I told him, my friend, all that is broken. All that is broken. And that's what killed Jesus on the cross. That we will be one. It's not about blacks. It's not about whites. It's not about it. It's about you. There are certain things you need to break so that the gospel can go. And you need to find into flame that the Holy Spirit will be at work in you to break that. The other, as Jesus went there, the Bible says in verse 6, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus wearied. The man was tired because he was the Son of Man. He understood. When we say we are tired, Jesus understands. He was tired, and so wearied from his journey, he was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. So if the hour started at 6 a.m. in the morning, the sixth hour is about 12 noon. Very hot time. Tired and weary. And as Jesus sat there, there came a woman of Samaria. Wow. A woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus says to this woman, give me a drink. Can you imagine? There is a big barrier here. And I will call it gender barrier. Jews, and especially a rabbi, would never talk in public, in open, to a woman. And some of the theologians says that there were some Pharisees and rabbis who were called the bruised and the bleeding Pharisees. What they would do is, if they are coming and they see a woman, they close their eyes, and before you know, they hit the wall. Or a stone. And so they are always bleeding with bruises. Why? That was the culture they found themselves. If you want to get closer to God, don't even talk to a woman. In fact, some of them in public will not talk to their own sisters. That is the condition Jesus found himself. And so, he asked this woman, and the woman was shocked. She was shocked and said, you are a Jew? And you could see he was a rabbi. I mean, you could see this is a rabbi. And you are asking me, and he said, asking me, number one, a woman of Samaria, a Samaritan woman for a drink? There might be something crazy with you. What is wrong with you? Brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to know that Jesus does not follow rules and regulations. Jesus breaks barrier, even if it is gender barrier. And the interesting thing is that this is a woman who at 12 noon in the heat of the day coming to fetch water. That is very, very, very abnormal. If you have stayed in a village in Africa, women are normally the ones who go and fetch water, but they go early in the morning or later in the day. But this woman comes into a well in the afternoon when it was very hot. Something was wrong. Besides that, this woman walks about half a mile to go to Jacob's well. There were wells that were closer to Sychar, but she decided to go the one that is furthest. And along the road to Jerusalem, which because of the situation that we have, was not being traveled on by people. The reason is, she didn't want people to see her. And as we'll see later, it was about her life. It was about who she was. People scorned her. People didn't want to see her. And so she's always finding a way that will prevent people from scorning and seeing her. And so, that's life. You know, when people see that there's something wrong with you, when people scorn you, do you know, in doing that, it gives them power. It makes them feel they have authority. And I'm thinking of John chapter 8. Here is a woman who was caught in adultery, by the way, all by herself. And the men in the city, including the one who she had an adulterous life with, took stones. They were powerful. They wanted to kill her. How many times when you are looking down on people, you feel you have power? Jesus says, that's not right. Jesus came in and he started writing on the floor. And everyone saw their own sin in that, and they all lay down their stones and left. The Bible says Jesus spoke with a woman. He broke the gender barrier. We may need to do that. Thirdly, Jesus broke the cultural barrier by saying, give me a drink. And the Bible clearly says, the Samaritan woman said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? And John puts into parenthesis, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. What that means is, according to Bible scholars, the literal translation means they don't use the same vessels. And they don't eat from the same pot. And so here is a woman in the first place from Samaria who Jesus wants to drink from her utensil. That was not ahead of. Jesus breaks a culture. And you see, in a radical way, Jesus had already sent his disciples into Samaria to buy food. Can you imagine that? So the disciples, I don't know how the Samaritans will feel. A bunch of Jews coming, hey, give me some cake, give me this, and they are buying bread and all that. That's unheard of. Let me read this to you. They say that Eliot's commentary for English readers says, for a Jew to eat food prepared by a Samaritan was at that time regarded by the rabbi authority as offensive, as great as eating the flesh of a swine. So if you eat any food prepared by a Samaritan and you are a Jew, it is like getting a pig and eating the raw meat, which should never happen. But Jesus breaks the cultural boundary, the barrier that is there, and say, go and buy food for us. Bible teacher John MacArthur says, at this time, this is the second time Jesus has met with individual. And the first one was Nicodemus. Remember, at night, in just chapter 3, we are now in chapter 4. In chapter 3, at night, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and inquire of how to be saved. And this is the second time Jesus has been already preaching to multitudes, but this is the second time Jesus speaks to an individual on things about the kingdom. And this is a woman. Opposite, very opposite to who Nicodemus was. Well, Nicodemus was a man, so that could have been fine. But here we had a woman. Nicodemus was a Jew, but here we have a Samaritan. Nicodemus was popular. Everybody knew Nicodemus. But this woman was notorious. Two opposite sides. Nicodemus was very rich. But this was a poor woman. Nicodemus had seen the miracles Jesus was doing. And he came and said, we as Pharisees know, no one would do the miracles you are doing unless God was with him. But this woman had never set eye. He had never heard anything about Jesus. Nicodemus was religious. But this woman was lost because Jesus told him, you worship what you do not even know. Nicodemus could go into the temple in Jerusalem. He was holy. But this was a sinner, as we will see later. Five husbands. A sinner. Nicodemus was highly educated. This woman, uneducated. Nicodemus was among the elite in society. This woman was a reject of society. Nicodemus had the respect of everyone. But this woman had the scorn of everyone. But with all that Nicodemus had, he went seeking Jesus. But Jesus came seeking this woman. No matter, I'm sure as we consider this, you may be in one time you are with Nicodemus, in another time you are with a woman. No matter your situation, God is saying, I know you. I care about you. If you wouldn't come to me, I will seek you. I will seek you. And people of God, His Spirit is in us to send us to seek others for Him. Some will come here, but most of them are out there. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. We need to break the barrier. What is the barrier that you need to break? Is it racial? Is it gender? Is it cultural? Is it religious? What is it? You need to fan into flame the gift of God in you to break through so that you partner with Jesus to do this. And so Jesus asked this woman. Jesus entered into her world. Jesus, unlike Nicodemus who came to seek, Jesus himself went into this woman. Are we able to enter into the world of others? Are we able? Sometimes we may think this is far reach, it's out there. But sometimes there are some people, even here in the church, you don't want to see them. You don't want to see them. Or in your workplace, there's someone you don't want to see. But Jesus is saying everybody is ripe for the gospel. No matter who they are, whether they are up there or low here. We need to fan into flame the Spirit of God in us that we can reach out to others. And so, Jesus says, yes, give me water to drink. And Jesus turns it around. This is what really touches my heart. You, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who is it that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew. You know, Jesus is so amazing. Jesus is using his need to trade in for the spiritual need. Jesus' physical need, he is trading it in for the spiritual need of this woman. Jesus is thirsty physically, but this woman is thirsty spiritually. All her life she has been following men. All her life. Seeking that will satisfy. But Jesus says, no. You need living water from me. In our lives, there's something. I remember I used to work with a friend who was working with World Vision International in Zambia. And his friend got a job. All his life, he wanted to work with the United Nations. And that's what he has been looking out for. And he got a job with the United Nations. And his first assignment was to go to Burundi. And on the way, the aircraft crashed and he died. What is it in your life? Some of us, we yearning for something, thinking when we get it, all will be well. I tell you, all will not be well. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus, and he is the one who can satisfy you. He's the one who can satisfy you. And so, this woman, Jesus says, look, there's something that you need, and that is living water. water that will take you to eternal life. The gift of God is the salvation. Remember John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, only son. That's the gift of God. And Jesus says, in life, John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall know hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And that great scripture in John chapter 7, verse 37, talking about the Holy Spirit, that is with us forever. It's in you and it's in me, if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, the day you give your life to Jesus, his Spirit is in you. He will change things. He says, on the last day of the feast, John 7:37, the great day, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, he said this about the Spirit, whom the believers were to receive. Are you thirsting? Are you thirsting? What are you thirsting for? What, even as you sit, what is it? What are you living for? You need Jesus, and he will change things. His Spirit will be in you, and he will guide you and lead you. And so at this time, the woman realizes, wow, this is amazing. This is the one who can quench my thirst in life. This is the one who can change everything about my life. You see, at that time, he realized, he says, sir, give me this water, which is a very good step. Very good step. Give me this water. But the idea behind was wrong, so that I don't have to come here all the time. And you know what? For you to know exactly what you need to be in front of the mirror to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you don't know what you need in life. It's only when you reflect yourself, you may realize that, hey, I need to cover myself. I'm so naked. That's when you see yourself in the mirror. And so Jesus put this woman in the mirror. And that's my second point. He says, all right, go and call your husband. Call my husband. Oh, I have no husband. Which was true. He had no husband because the man she was staying with was not a husband. So he said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you are right. You are right. Look, I know you've had 5 husbands and even the one there is not a... I know. You're a prophet. You see, for Jesus to say 5 husbands, the one thing about the Samaritans is that they believe in they knew the first 5 books of Moses, the Pentateuch. And they know that Moses gave permission that you could divorce. If your wife or your husband, normally it's not the husband, the wife, is an adulteress, then you give a certificate. So it means this woman got a first certificate, a second certificate, a third certificate, a fourth certificate, and he's trying to arrange for another one. 5 husbands have rejected her. She thought what she needed in life could be satisfied in women. But Jesus said no. And when this woman said, sir, I can see you're a prophet. He says, you are right. I see myself. Brothers, as we go and tell the gospel of Jesus, people will tell you their needs, but that's not what it is. Some people say, come to Jesus. He will give you a new car. Of course I will come to Jesus and get a new car. If I've lost my work and you say, come to Jesus, he will give you a new job, I will come. But that's not it. Jesus came for the sins of this world. And not until we make people understand that Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, it was because of our sins. And so we need to know that I am a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman, and I need Jesus. He will take it away. And so Jesus drew the woman here, and the penny dropped. And you know, something interesting is this. When this happened, I remember in the Bible school, we argued that this woman was intelligent. Because now, her sins were naked. She wanted to deviate attention, Jesus' attention to somebody else. So he started talking about worship. So we're saying, hey, this woman was intelligent. But I realized that this question about worship was a deep cry of this woman. This woman is saying, Lord, I've come to know you. I've seen what you're able to offer, but I cannot go to Jerusalem to worship. You people say we must go to Jerusalem. Now, how can I go to Jerusalem? What can I do? And Jesus had to explain to her and said, you do not need to go to Jerusalem. You do not need to go to Jerusalem. Wherever you are, you can worship the living God. All you need to do is to change your heart. And whenever God touches you, the first thing is to worship God. It happened to Naaman. When Naaman, who was a leper, when he got healed, he told the prophet Elisha, please, when I go and I'm worshiping, I know I should worship God here, but when I go and my master is worshiping and I'm standing by him, please forgive me for that. Because I know I should worship the living God. And as Craig was saying, if we come in the presence of God here and we are worshiping the living God, the one who loved and died for us. That was my third point. Worship is in the house of the Lord. And worship is in your heart. Everywhere you are able to live and give worthiness to God. And as they spoke, they came to a point. The woman said, well, all this worship thing you are talking about, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, everything will be okay. Jesus said, I who speak to you am the one. And can you imagine? Jesus had to break all these barriers to go into Samaria, meet a woman, and for the first time in his life, declare who he is. The Messiah of the world. Brothers, Jesus loves you. Sisters, Jesus loves you. No matter who you are, he wants to reveal himself to you. And the Bible says at that time, when the disciples came, and that's my last point, after worship, the woman realized, I can't keep this to myself. If you know Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. If there's a genuine conversion, you can't keep what the Lord has done for you to yourself. She rushes and says, come everyone, come and see someone who told me everything that I ever did. You do not know, but this man told me, could he be the Christ? And you know what? It is in Samaria that they got to know when the people of Samaria came to Jesus. They said, we do not believe anymore because of you, woman, but we have seen it for ourselves. And we know he is the savior of the world. He's not just a savior of the Jews. Though salvation comes from there, but Jesus is the savior of the whole world. And this morning is my prayer that the Spirit of the living God will help us know that Jesus came for the world. Wherever you find yourself, he's there for us. He's there to save you. And this morning you might be here. You don't know Jesus. You have so many things going on in your life. You need to know who you are. You are a sinful man. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. But the gift of God in Romans chapter 6 23 says, is eternal life through Jesus. He is here for you. If this morning you will recognize him as your savior and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. He's ready to forgive you and save you. Shall we stand together?